I'm not sure if I mentioned it before, but when my friend Clay Mason Bannerman and I want to impress our new lady friends, Tiffer and Mickey, we don't even have to take them to a restaurant. That's because we have an entire freezer stocked full of ButcherBox, and that includes high-quality meat and seafood that we can trust. It's so convenient. It's delivered right to our doorstep, and there's always free shipping. I mean, where else can you get free protein for a whole year? Tiffer and Mickey love it, and so will you. At least one of them is always around asking when the new ButcherBox is arriving. Sign up at butcherbox.com/mega and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. Choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/mega and use code MEGA to choose your free for a year offer plus $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Mega is an improvised satire from the staff of a fictional megachurch.
We are here. Lord, we are here. And we're ready. Ready to podcast.
Hiya, I'm Hallie Labonte, and this is Mega, coming to you from Twin Hills Community Church, where every single week we give our mega church just a tiny family feel. We introduce you to members of our church staff, people from our community. I think it is a treat and it is a treasure. Well, per usual, I'm joined by my co-host. He's the youth pastor for our high school ministry called Climax. Please welcome Gray Haas.
Hey, Hallie. Yep, his rod and staff, they comfort me. So.
Oh, Gray, you okay?
You know, it's been a pretty challenging week in my personal life, Hallie, to be honest. You know, I'm not sure if I've mentioned it before, but my friend Clay Mason Bannerman, yeah, he was assaulted.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, I think I've thought, you know, Clay, he's a Christian, I guess. In, you know, I've just been working on him for years, and sometimes I like to say he's a, you know, a Sino, a Christian in name only.
Oh,
and
no.
he went on a trip last weekend with a bunch of his fraternity brothers from Alpha Chi Omega from the Ohio State University.
Cool.
And they went to Pensacola, Florida. And yeah, he got very drunk.
Oh, no.
And was assaulted by his fraternity brothers. They took him to a tattoo parlor and tattooed him against his will.
He got a tattoo.
Yes,
while and I'm he was just intoxicated.
I know, and I'm not against tattoos if they're cool ones, but this one
or
is
Christian
just
ones.
Right. This one is just an absolute. It's a crime. The tattoo's a crime.
What's the tattoo of? Is it a picture?
I don't even know if I want to get into it, Hallie. The tattoo is Lee Lalo.
The letters.
Lee. Well, Lee's not a letter, Hallie. Lee Lalo.
Lee Lalo.
Yeah.
Like L-E-L-A-L-O?
L-I-L-A-L-O.
Lee-la-lo?
Lee-la-lo,
what does that mean? Is it a fraternity thing? Where did they put it on his body?
No, it's not a fraternity thing. Okay, they put it on a part of his body that grows.
His hair or beard?
What? No.
His belly?
No.
His butt?
What?
How does your butt grow? It can grow or shrink.
No, Hallie. Okay, just like a part of his body that, you know, like when it's colder, you know.
Oh, there?
Yeah.
They tattooed him there?
Yeah.
On that?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I mean, I didn't see it, but he told me about it.
No. Oh, my gosh. I just don't get it.
Well, what is there not to get, Hallie?
I don't understand what Lila Lo is.
Well, there's some letters missing. You know, when it's colder, there's some letters missing.
Oh, live, laugh, love?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Oh, I know. I mean, it's a crime against humanity.
Oh, well, at least you have your girlfriend, Jen Hatmaker.
Oh, yeah, whatever.
What's wrong?
I mean, honestly, Hallie, we're taking a break.
Oh, no. What happened?
She was obsessed with me, Hallie.
Oh, I didn't pick up on that.
You know, it just was freaking constant. Just texting me and calling me, FaceTiming me, wanting me to read these books and cook things. I finally just had to say, hey, you know what, J-Hat? There are three people in this relationship, and one of them is just getting ignored.
Clay?
What? No, Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
And I just said, Jen, I love you. And I think we're soulmates, and there's probably, you know, a great potential for marriage there, but you've really got to get your priorities straight. And until then, you know, lose my number. Well, I didn't say lose my number. I just said, you know, don't call my number so much.
Well, sometimes taking a break is a great way to work on a relationship.
Yeah, that's what I think so. Yeah. Okay. Live, laugh, love. Anyway, Hallie, how was your week?
Well, unfortunately, I kind of had a bummer of a week too. My kids hate me and I feel like a complete failure as a mom.
Oh, why is that, Hallie?
Well, one of my daughters, you know, she really looks up to my son, Day, and she tries to emulate him because she thinks he's cool.
Well, he's not.
I know. And I'm afraid his far-left progressive views have started rubbing off on her.
Oh, really? Which daughter are we talking about?
The youngest one.
Oh, okay.
Anywho, we were driving to Steak and Shake the other day, and she says to me, Mom, I don't think I'm going to get married. I'm just not going to get married. And I says, yes, you will, sugar. It's God's plan for your life.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm going through this very thing right now.
Believe me. It's not always easy. But then I said, it's God's plan for your life. And then Day, my son Day, pipes in and he goes, Mom, that's not true. There's no biblical basis for that being God's plan.
There we go.
And in fact, Day said, the very idea of God having any plan for you isn't in the Bible at all. And I said, yes, it is, buddy. I know my Bible, Jeremiah 29. I know the plan I have for you, says the Lord. And my son Day goes, Mom, God was talking to the tribe of Israel, and he was talking specifically about land and a temple, like that was the plan.
How does he even know this stuff?
Because he goes in and he reads things like Jeremiah. He reads the verses in context.
Right. Well, tell him to stop doing that.
And my other daughter goes,
Well, which daughter is that?
The other one, she goes, I think I am going to get married. And I says, well, that's good. God's preparing a wonderful husband for you.
At least you got one.
And she goes, well, Mom, you can marry whoever you want. You can marry a girl. You can marry a boy. You can marry a non-binary person. And I says, I'm sorry, sugar. I'm going to have to stop you right there. They get these ideas at the public school. And I says, you know, we are called to biblical marriages, kids. And that means a marriage between one man and one woman.
Right.
And my son Day goes, oh, you want us to follow biblical marriage?
I wish you'd just follow somebody off a bridge sometimes.
And then my son Day goes, okay, well, according to the Bible, a biblical marriage could be between one man and his sister.
What?
And my other daughter goes, or biblical marriage could be between one man and his dead brother's wife.
No.
And then my other daughter goes, or hey, you want a biblical marriage? That could be between one man and one woman and all her servants.
Well, yeah, I guess that did happen in my family one time to a cousin.
And then they just started pummeling me with all these biblical marriages. A biblical marriage could be one man and his rape victim, my daughter said, or one soldier and his virgin prisoners, or one man and 700 women and 300 concubines. Those are biblical marriages.
I wish they would just pay attention to the verses that we teach in church.
I know.
So what did you do?
Well, I got to Steak and Shake and I did a U-turn in the parking lot and drove those smart alecks right on home. And they were all like, you said we were going to eat at Steak and Shake. And I said, oh, no. I said we were going to Steak and Shake. And you put it in context to assume that meant eating. And, you know, that's what it'll get you when you put things in context.
Right.
Nothing at all. No cheese fries for you.
Live, laugh, love.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
because I really value truth, misinformation really, really scares me. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that dismantles New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis. At their best, they attack public health efforts in times of crisis, and at their worst, it's like they're recruiting for the fever dream of QAnon. On Conspirituality, you will have a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic all discussing stories and cult dynamics and helping educate us and using proven science as their guiding light. I really recommend the Jordan Klepper episode talking about creating comedy in the MAGAverse. Jordan's incredible. And I also really love the medical medium episode. It's really good, and not just because I've had my own weird experiences with mediums. From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality podcast will help you stay informed against misinformation and resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast, you get a belly full of laughs and a head full of real information. Our gallimaufry of expert guests answer questions on stuff adults need to know. I have mold in my dwelling. What do I do? What's gerrymandering? What happens chemically when I fall in love? How do I handle a parent-teacher conference? What are microbes? Listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. Solve problems, get laughs.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Talkspace, the leading virtual therapy provider, is encouraging people to talk it out in therapy. By talking or texting with a supportive, licensed therapist at Talkspace, you'll gain insights, discover truths, and experience breakthroughs that will improve how you live and how you feel. With Talkspace, just answer a few questions online, and you'll be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, whenever you feel most at ease. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members only pay a $25 copay or less. No insurance? No problem. If you want to make progress toward a mentally healthier place, Talkspace is here for you. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Just like Jesus had nails in his hands, our guest today puts pegs in a board. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Mr. Tim Ribbons. Welcome to the show.
Oh, and I say thank you for having me. Thank you for having me very much.
Oh, it is so cool to be talking to you, Tim, because, you know, I've been curious about this whole thing because when it comes to cribbage, I've always just thought, you know, that's a thing for old people and Russians that they eat. And I didn't really understand what you're up to. So tell us a little bit about cribbage and how you're preparing it.
Well, cribbage is a game that involves cards.
Oh, okay?
As many games do. It comes from the old times. It comes from Britain, as many card games do. And it also involves a board, pegging in a board. So you start off, and there are 121 spaces in the board that you could put your peg into. But what you're going to do is you're going to go from 0 to 121. And whoever gets there first, well, guess what? They win.
Okay. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about, I think I confused it with cabbage.
Oh, that sounds good. No.
Cabbage is actually a food. While many Russians like to eat cabbage, you can play a version of cabbage in cribbage.
Oh.
So I understand where you get confused. It's got the two C's there, and both sounding the same is very, very, very confusing.
Okay. Well, you know, that's
and now what happens with cabbage, though, is what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to saute the cabbage, and you're going to want to shrink it down a little bit, take some of the water out of that, then you can have it on whatever you want. You can make a sauerkraut out of that. You can have it on, I don't know, let's call them pot stickers. You're going to want to call them something different. I'm calling them pot stickers. Let's sour cream that up, salt and pepper that, eat it as a meal. It's great.
Oh, my mouth is watering. Mm. Wow. You could throw it on pastrami.
Oh, my goodness. Here's the thing. Pastrami is an interesting meat, and let me tell you why. You can have it canned. You can have it fresh. But what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to slice it real, real thin because there's nothing worse than, let's call it a thick slice of pastrami.
Uh-huh.
Because what you're going to have to do is you're going to take a bite out of that sandwich that you've made with all this pastrami and all of this cabbage in there too.
Okay.
Get a little bit, want a little bit of Russian dressing there, a little bit of Thousand Island type of thing.
Ooh.
But if you have a thick piece of pastrami, what you're going to do is you're going to bite in, you're going to take that whole thing out, you're going to take half your sandwich with you. So, slice it thin, salt it up again, even though it's a salted and cured meat, salt it up again and eat that. Oh, just have that sandwich and not take out the whole bite in one time.
Right. I'm sorry. I guess I'm sorry that I confused them. Anyway, so Tim, where are you from originally?
I am actually from Cribbage, Ontario, in Canada.
Oh,
wow.
Sorry.
Yeah, yeah, I know. It's kind of funny. I always wonder, is that the reason why I started playing Cribbage in the first place? Because coming from Cribbage, Ontario, which is a town that was incorporated about 100 years ago, I wonder if that's the reason that that brought me to the game Cribbage. And then I realized, well, there were two things that brought me to the game of Cribbage.
Ooh.
Now, one would be obviously the town name, and I got a lot of town pride. So Cribbage is one thing in that respect. But he brought me to Cribbage.
Yeah. Oh,
I love that.
Let's say that. You know, I mean, there again, two things, name of the town, but he brought me to Cribbage.
It's all part of God's plan.
It seems like a place like Cribbage, Ontario. I mean, is it known for the game?
It's actually known for a couple of different things. Meth has been vaulted into number one that it's known for, as many towns across our great nation are known for, is meth now. But originally, it was known for cabbage, if you can believe it or not. What happened was, it started out as a cabbage farming community, you know, sort of early in the 1900s. And what happened was, they decided that, well, when you're harvesting cabbage, you need a little bit of a break. And you can do two things on a break. You can play cribbage, or you can play cribbage.
Right.
That is awesome.
And now I guess you do meth.
Well, yeah, you can do meth. But I tell you what, the more meth that you do, the more cribbage you can play, and the more cabbage you don't want to eat. So it's kind of like it's a little bit of a weird trifecta type of thing. They all intersect at one golden place, and that is right at his feet.
Awesome.
That's where they all intersect. Awesome. Meth, cribbage, and cabbage.
Awesome. Tim, forgive me if this is too personal a question right out of the gate, but if a gal puts ketchup mustard on a hot dog and then throws on some sauerkraut, do you think it's unladylike?
Allie, I don't really know why we're talking about that kind
of
stuff.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. It really depends on what your definition of ladylike is. Because I'll tell you what I like about a lady. What makes me like a lady.
Ooh.
What makes me like a lady is a lady that can express who she is. And now if that lady likes ketchup, and that lady likes mustard, and that lady likes hot dogs, and that lady likes cabbage.
Yeah.
Or sauerkraut.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. We were talking about the trifecta a little bit earlier, okay? So where we're intersecting right now is at the corner of mustard, ketchup, and sauerkraut on Hot Dog Way. So what I like about that is a woman who really can express herself.
Wow.
And if it's through food, absolutely, I love that. So I would say to all of those three things, fantastic, and that's my ideal woman right there.
So enough about cabbage. How do you play cribbage? Because that's not really something I don't... What is it exactly? Because I don't really think that's a game that, you know, we play much around here. And, you know, how do you bring Christ into cribbage?
Well, you bring Christ into cribbage, I mean, I guess the same way that you bring Christ into anything.
I love that.
You open your heart.
Right.
First of all. So what you're going to want to do to start the cribbage game, you're going to want to get cards first, a deck of cards, 52 cards. You're going to want to take the jokers out of those cards.
Okay? Oh, okay.
You don't need those. Jokers are no good. Right. Jokers have a bit of a nefarious quality to them,
right?
If I'm not mistaken. So you want to take those out right away. So you start with a deck of 52.
Wow. Okay.
And then you're going to want to start it off with a little bit of a little bit of a prayer, a prayer to him, a prayer to he, a prayer to us to start the game off. And what I like about that is it helps the mood of the game get elevated to begin with. And then you start in. So, and then after that, you get your cribbage board. I told you it's 121 spaces. Start at zero. And what you're going to do is you're going to put your little pegs in. First, you're going to want a flat surface. So a flat surface, you could have a table or, you know, a larger table or a smaller table or like a medium-sized table. Put your cribbage board on that table. Start it off. Deal the cards. Say a prayer. Get into it.
Awesome.
That's how cribbage goes.
Right. I think that's clear. I mean, do you think that, you know, sometimes when it comes to cards, and I know a lot of Christians are going, hey, cards, you know, that could be tools of the devil. Do you think because you add those pegs and that board, it kind of, you know, adds a bit of Cracker Barrel into it, and so then it's, you know...
It makes it more wholesome.
Right, more wholesome, more Christian.
Now I think you're 100% right. 100% right. Because cards on their own, you are correct. Cards can be used for bad things.
Yeah.
They can be used for gambling.
Yeah, yeah.
I hate
okay?
that. Yeah.
Now, I don't like that.
No.
Now, you want to take your cards and you want to go gamble, you do that on your own time. You don't do it on my time.
Yeah.
And you certainly don't do it on our time, and you don't do it on his time.
Right.
Okay? With the board and with the pegs, I like to think of the pegs as the disciples of the board. If we're looking at the board as him,
yeah,
we're looking
yeah.
at the pegs as the disciples of him, and the disciples, they make it wholesome.
Yeah.
He makes it wholesome.
Yeah.
And the cards, they get taken down a peg or two on the nefarious side, because that's what you need to do. I don't want any nefarious behavior going on here. So yes, of course, you add a little bit of that cheddar cheese in there, a little bit of that Cracker Barrel, as it were.
Right.
And you have those pegs, you have those disciples, and you make it wholesome.
Didn't Christ tell us to go out and make disciples of all nations? So here you've got your disciples in your little board, and you're traveling around the country. You're on the Cribbage for Christ, the Reneg Tour, right? I mean...
That is correct. Cribbage for Christ, Reneg Tour 2022.
Wow, rolls off the tongue.
It is so cool. So you're traveling around teaching people about Christ through a wholesome game that everybody knows and loves. I mean, what do you think of Indy? Do you like Indianapolis? Is it a lot like Canada?
You know, rolling through on the Cribbage for Christ tour, It really helps spread the word of the Lord.
Yeah.
And when you go to interesting places like Broadnipple, you get to interact with the people in a way that is fun. First of all, with the cribbage, with the board, you're in a group, you're having fun, you're enjoying each other's company in a wholesome way.
Yeah.
And that's what I like about it.
I mean, is that how you came to Christ? Was through cribbage?
Yes. Short answer to that is yes. That is how I came to Christ. Now, growing up in Cribbage, Ontario, there are many different paths you can walk. Now, unfortunately, I will say for myself as a younger man, I chose to walk a bit of a darker path.
Oh, no.
I didn't see the light to begin with. You know, starting off with cabbage, that really held me for a long time. Harvesting cabbage, sauteing cabbage,
okay. Cabbage.
You know,
awesome.
Eating cabbage, putting cabbage on things.
Ooh,
that
yeah.
helped me for a long time. But I tell you what happens in a small town. You can get a lot of idle hands.
Uh-huh.
And so those idle hands led me to some darker places, like I said. And we talked about a certain drug problem that a lot of small towns have. It's called meth.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And that's what happened to me. I will say it right now. I am not proud of it. I am proud of how I came out of it. But I went from cabbage to meth to cribbage to salvation.
Oh, I love that.
Oh.
And that's what happened.
So cabbage was a bit of a gateway drug to meth. And you're saying that luckily meth led you to cribbage, led you to Christ.
You can only climb out from the bottom once you've hit the bottom. You have to reach the bottom.
Right. Yep.
And for me, reaching the bottom started with a little bite of raw cabbage in the field.
Wow.
Ended with a serious meth addiction, some new teeth I needed, and then all of a sudden, the light. I saw the light, and I climbed out, and I climbed towards that light. And in that light, there was a wooden cribbage board, 121 spaces, that could be moved, that could be steps on breaking me out of this pit of despair, of this black hole of emptiness, all the way to the top.
Wow.
And who was at the top? I have a question
cabbage?
For you. Who's at the top?
Christ?
My father.
Oh, really?
Oh,
okay.
A twist I almost
there.
Said your mom. Yeah.
Tom Ribbons.
Wow.
And Tom Ribbons showed me the way. He showed me the way out of the dark and into the light. And
awesome.
Who did that for him? Well, it was the Lord. So as my father did before me, I found the Lord.
I guess I was going to just wonder, and maybe this is going back to the dark stuff, but is that, are those cigarette burns on your forehead, and does that spell no reneg? Because I'm kind of trying to connect all the dots here. I mean, and when I say the dots, I mean the cigarette burns.
Now, I will say this. You have a keen eye, because that is exactly what it spells.
Okay.
No reneg.
What does that mean?
Now, when you're in a tizzy, a drug-fueled tizzy, you know, your cabbage levels are low in your body, in your bloodstream. You do things that you don't really know why you do them sometimes.
Sure.
So
yep.
for me,
yep.
this is when I hit bottom as well. When I woke up and I had no reneg, cigarette burned into my forehead backwards so I could read it in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Uh-huh.
That's when I knew I needed help.
Wow.
That's what also spurred on Cribbage for Christ, the Reneg Tour 2022. That's what did it for me. That's what, because I've got this on my forehead, this is what led me to, this is the only title to spread the good word of the Lord on this tour that we're doing.
That
That's
is
it.
Awesome.
That's all I could.
I think the way you pull your bangs down really covers it up. I didn't even notice it at all. You know, unless you kind of
right.
speak emphatically and your bangs move.
Yeah, you don't really see guys with bangs like that really anymore.
I like either. It. Yeah, do you use a flat iron?
I do use a flat iron, yes. Yeah. It's funny, actually. Using the flat iron took away from the need to wear bandanas all the time,
uh-huh.
you know, because you look a little bit shady if you're wearing bandanas all the
yeah.
time. So what I did, took a flat iron, got it from my mother, put those bangs down. All of a sudden, there's no more cigarette burns on the forehead.
Awesome. And you don't want to wear a bandana in a big city like Indy because they might think you're in a gang.
I'll tell you what. How am I going to do the Lord's work if people keep thinking that I'm in a gang, that I'm spreading the bad word, when what I'm trying to do is spread the good word?
That's right.
So no, bandanas out.
So I'm sorry, what is reneg? I just don't even know.
Yeah, what does it mean? And I always feel like I'm saying it wrong.
Reneg is basically a fancy word for you're a f***ing liar.
Oh, all right.
Reneg in crib basically means if I'm playing against an opponent and they have cards that they can play but choose not to play, basically a liar, I call reneg and they have to pick up and give me their points that they would have received on those cards that they said they didn't have. It's basically, you're a liar.
Okay.
Wow.
So
that's
I love that.
Is.
I mean, thou
that's
shalt
correct.
Not lie.
I mean, and let's not forget, thou shalt not lie.
Right.
Yeah. Which means Satan is the grandest renegger.
That is absolutely correct. And I'm glad that you said that. Because Satan is the grandest renegger that ever was. He reneges on everything, and especially the cards in his hand that he could play and didn't, and therefore I shall collect his points. Uh-huh. Thou shalt collect points.
Yep.
Everybody
yep.
knows that's another
yep.
that's another commandment. Thou
yep.
shalt collect points.
Yep. And we know the cards that the devil is carrying. It's porno. It's, you know, foul language.
Totally.
It's probably more porno.
It's like a membership to Orange Theory. I mean, that place is garbage.
Is that the strip club in Broadnipple? Yes? Orange Theory?
Yes. You want to...
I mean, basically, if you go in there.
Now, Tim, is Ribbons a family name? Does it come from England? I know very little about Canada, but Tim Ribbons is a really beautiful name, and your father, Tom Ribbons.
Actually, Ribbons comes from the candy, if you can believe it. Ribbon candy, which actually does come from Britain to begin with. You'd probably know this candy from, you know, hanging out at your great aunt's house. She's got a bowl. It's probably crystal, possibly just glass if she's not really that fancy. And what is it full of? It's full of candies that have been there for a long time. They've sweat all over each other, and they come out as one. They've got 50 candies in there, and they're all stuck together. That's the ribbon candy that I know and that I love, and that's where my family name comes from.
You know, Tim, and I guess I'm asking this only because I'm curious, but do you think the whole cribbage thing is sort of catching on down here? How have the numbers been as you're doing your Cribbage for Christ, the Reneg Tour 2022?
Well, the numbers south of the 49th parallel have been staggering. Staggering.
Ooh.
We sometimes get between 10 and 15 people tournament.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
And that, those type of numbers, you can't make this up because you just sound like a liar if you're making it up. Those are exponentially bigger than we would get anywhere in Canada. And so it is catching on like absolute wildfire.
Right. It seems like nobody really lives up there. Is that right?
That is correct. It's a very, very small population.
Wow.
You know, the town of Cribbage, Ontario, is a population of only 35.
Oh, wow.
Correct. And we're all cabbage farmers up there, too. So you've got 35 cabbage farmers in Cribbage, Ontario. That's a mouthful of cabbage.
It's also a nose full of math.
Now, forgive me if this is too personal a question, but do you think the president of Canada is good looking?
I've always felt that he's very good looking.
Oh, yeah.
He reminds me of the first day of the harvest.
Ooh.
And you're pulling up, you're pulling up a lot of dirt, but you're pulling up good cabbage, too. Okay, and you're getting some, there's a little bit of white on the cabbage, there's some nice green in there, and all of a sudden you pull up something and it is bright green. It is like a radioactive nuclear rod, how green it is. And that is how the president of Canada looks. He is just that type of green, that type of standout diamond in the rough, greenest cabbage you've ever seen.
So you're saying kind of the president of Canada is like this bright green cabbage that you pulled out of the ground with no dirt on it, totally clean.
That's correct. Now, what he tries to do, sometimes what happens with the cabbage is when you pull up that that bright, bright green, just like the president's face, this diamond in the rough there, sometimes you don't want to have your nose in the air to be looking down upon the other cabbage farmers. And so what you do is, you know, you put a little bit of, let's call it face paint, on the face of the cabbage to make it a little bit darker toned. And I think the president of Canada would agree with that. That's something that I think that he would agree with.
Yeah, as right. long as it's not caught on a photo that'll come back to haunt him, it's probably fine.
Well, we actually have a ban on taking photographs in any of the the cabbage missions, in any of the cabbage processing, in any of that. There's a complete blackout, complete cell phone blackout and camera blackout there. You can't do it. Is it blackface or blackout? I can't remember.
Oh, that's great. You know, I noticed you're wearing two wedding rings.
Are you married?
Yes, I am married, actually. And, you know, that eye of yours is just perfect because there are two wedding bands here. And some would think that that means two wives.
Oh.
Now, I'm just, let's roll it back here for a second. Okay. Let's roll the cabbage back up the hill for a second here. One wife, two wedding rings to show my undying love. Two times over.
Oh, awesome. So you got married twice.
We did get married twice. Yes, that's correct. We had two ceremonies, two receptions, and two what's called the smashing of the cabbage ceremony. So what you do is you take a cabbage and you put it in like a napkin, and then you place it on the ground and you scream cribbage as you stomp on it and it breaks. And then that sort of like starts the union of two people. It's great.
So is this sort of a classic Canadian wedding? You have two weddings right in a row and you stomp on a cabbage. Are they back to back? Is there some time in between?
No, that you're right. It is a very classic Canadian wedding. So what you would do is you start the first ceremony and you run it through, culminating in the stomping of the cabbage.
Oh, okay.
And then right, you know, back to ones, people, let's get back into your seats. You know, I'll go back, you know, into the staging area. You know, the bride will go back into the staging, right? The thing is, you need to pretend like the first ceremony hasn't even happened.
Oh.
And that's the kicker for it. So then you go through the rest of the ceremony exactly the same as it was, but pretend like the first one didn't happen, stomp the cabbage, and by that time, you're married once, but two rings.
Aww.
That is so neat. You know, we have a similar thing in Australia. We do two ceremonies, one for the bride's family, one for the groom's family, but they're 3 years apart. And just so to make sure that they can never meet or the wedding is cursed. But it's probably a similar thing.
Now, would they meet? not within the 3 years, obviously. I mean, you can't meet within the 3 years in Australia. But after that, would the bride and groom's family meet after, or are they completely separate from one another always?
Right. Well, groom's wedding is first, and his family, just in that 3 year time frame, can never meet the bride's family, and then the bride ceremony, and then, you know, it's all bets are off after that. But typically, you like to really keep them, you know, as they say, keep them separated, as the Newsboys sang.
Beautiful. Just sounds heartwarming.
Now, forgive me if this is too personal a question, but in Canada, are you allowed to have a conjugal visit of your wife after the first ceremony and before the second ceremony? Does everyone know what you're doing in there? Or are you saying that you're just taking more special photos? What happens in between the ceremonies?
You're 100% right, and very, very good on you there. You do get a conjugal visit in between the first and second ceremonies. Now, it's what we like to refer to in Canada as an open secret.
Okay.
You finish. You stomp the cabbage. You run back to the staging area, you get to it. And it's going to take a long time because you've got two pairs of pants on, you've got two shirts on, you've got two everything on. So you've got to strip the first one down.
Okay. Wow.
Then undo the second pair.
Wow.
Pants to the ankles.
Yeah.
You know, shirt to the tits, straight up there. You do it. You do it as quick as you can, as many times as you can. You've got a time limit there. It's a 3-minute time limit. And then you come back out, you start the second ceremony. That's correct. Yeah. So you get a conjugal visit in between the first and second ceremony. That's correct. And the open secret is kind of well known. But that's sort of the fun of it.
Talk about stomping the cabbage.
Well, stomping the cabbage actually comes from a long, long time ago, back in the old country.
Oh.
You know, and when I say the old country, it's the town right next to Cribbage, Ontario. That's actually Cabbage, Ontario. And so that's where it comes from. So they were stomping the cabbage in their marriage ceremonies, you know, as far back as 1900, if you can believe it.
Oh, wow. I can't that even far imagine back. That far back.
And so that's where the term stomping the cabbage comes from. Now, they, in Cabbage, Ontario, they have a term called stomping the cribbage, which they put a cribbage board for their wedding ceremonies into a napkin, and they stomp on it, too. There's not as much of an explosion like a cabbage would be, because you're just stomping a piece of wood. And frankly, you get a lot of twisted ankles in there. But that's their ceremony as opposed to ours, which is stomping the cabbage. So we get it from them. They get it from us. It's a give and take, quid pro quo type of a deal.
Now, tell me if I'm using it right. Hey, Dad, Mom's in such a bad mood. Maybe you should take her out back and smash her cabbage. Does that work?
Yes, absolutely. That works 100%.
It helps me because I've had so many kids, and I've always, each time I've been like, well, my body is practically ripped open because this kid coming out just smashed my cabbage. That really helps me make sense of things.
You know, I guess my only other question, Tim, and if you could just keep this really simple, because I think the problem maybe, and maybe the reason you don't have so many people coming to these cribbage games is no one really knows what the heck is going on a lot of times. So what I would ask you is, what's just like a really good score in cribbage? You know, what can people expect when you're playing cribbage, you know, just the score or something?
Well, first of all, I would start that with 15-2, 15-4, praise the Lord.
Okay.
Because if you're going to have the greatest score that you can possibly have, he will help you to get a 29.
See?
Oh, okay.
Okay. And a 29 is the type of a time that we are going to have in Broad Nipple on this cribbage tour.
Okay.
Okay. Cribbage for Christ, Reneg Tour 2022. We are going to have a 29 of a time. Let me tell you that right now. And also, that's a go.
You know, I think I'll just never understand cribbage.
Now, what does it mean when you say that's a go?
Well, that means that you have counted all the way up to 31 in your hand, and there can be no more counting going on.
Okay.
So that's a go. You get a point for that one. Now, I'd just like to say that I feel like we are just going to get pegged for a 29 in Broad Nipple tonight.
Yeah.
That's uncomfortable.
Tim Ribbons was played by Nate Dales. He's amazing in the hilarious show Letterkenny on Hulu. Folks, it's so damn funny, and I love, love, love it. And we love, love, love him. Follow Nate at Summer Nate. I'm Holly Laurent playing Hallie Labonte, and Grey Haas was played by Greg Hess. Follow us and Mega the Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. And if you really want to get out of hell free card, support us on Patreon. The link is in the show notes.